Hello, and welcome to the Simple Faith Podcast from the Faith Formation for Children and Youth Department at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Austin, Texas. Our goal is to offer short and simple thoughts and reflections as part of our Faith Formation program. We hope you will find them helpful. This year's theme is Living Leisurely Through the Liturgical Year, and the title of today's podcast is Fasting and the Great Lenten Cupcake Caper. Many years ago, I worked at another parish which shall remain nameless. On Ash Wednesday, one of the ministry groups wanted to hold a fish fry to raise money. The event was approved, and I'm sure they were very successful with their all-you-can-eat Ash Wednesday fish fry. I remember walking out of my office and seeing another member of our staff holding a plate piled high with fried catfish, french fries, and hush puppies. On top was one of those giant HEB cupcakes with the 6-inch tall frosting. It turned out the all-you-can-eat fish fry on a day of fast and abstinence also included a bake sale. Being younger than I am now and a little more outspoken, I walked over to the pastor's office and demanded to know what was going on. The group holding the fish fry fundraiser was a favorite of his, so he tried to find a way to explain the bake sale. He told me that, well, the guidelines for fasting said 2 small meals and 1 full meal for the day, and for some people, a meal isn't complete without dessert. I think I said in reply, "Are you kidding me?" Word got out quickly that I was unhappy, and several emails flew my way. One of the more interesting was from one of the self-proclaimed leaders of the group, a large, boisterous man who often spoke loudly before thinking. He told me that he wasn't going to let the church tell him how to fast or what to do. This ministry group also happened to be a spiritual retreat group. So what did it say that one of their leaders loudly and proudly proclaimed he wasn't going to fast on Ash Wednesday? Again, being much younger and scrappier, I jumped on into the fray, explaining that the spiritual practice of fasting wasn't because the church was telling us how to eat or how not to eat, but rather that it was to make us physically hungry in order to remind us of our hunger for God. If we couldn't go a day without a mammoth pink cupcake, how deep or strong was our devotion or faith to God? Fasting had nothing to do with his independent rights or the church's perceived suppression of them. It had to do with us getting in touch with our hunger for God. Was it possible an all-you-can-eat fish fry with an accompanying bake sale, while yes, technically abstaining from meat, actually missed the Ash Wednesday mark completely? I don't remember how the whole thing turned out, but I do remember that henceforth there was at least an awareness that perhaps a bake sale didn't belong on a day of fasting during Lent. And my coworker with the supersized plate and the cupcake was a lovely, kind, humble, generous woman who was also severely diabetic. Most of us spent the Ash Wednesday of 2021 stuck at home in the frozen tundra that was Texas. Many of us were involuntarily fasting from electricity, heat, light, and water. St. Catherine's even canceled all Ash Wednesday liturgies. While we may have had grand plans for our Mardi Gras celebrations, still during COVID, of course, and high aspirations for our Ash Wednesdays in the beginning of Lent, we were plunged into 5-degree temperatures in a dark, gray, icy tomb. I tried to bake a king cake during the interval when the power was on, but our house was even too cold for the yeast to rise. I ended up dumping the gooey dough into the kitchen trash can. After a year of COVID Lent, here we were a year later and not much better off. We thawed out, started up life again, and tried to move on. The next thing we knew, we were thrown into chaos with the lifting of the mask mandate. I remember being exhausted that week, wondering how our kids' activities would go, what the schools would do, and reading the god-awful comments on the parent Facebook groups. It was like last summer all over again. People dug in and chose sides. The hate and anger were so real. Knowing which parents in our kids' social groups were pro-mask and anti-mask, I had no idea how we'd move forward, and it felt awful. Right now, we are more than halfway through Lent. By now, our Lenten practices are either going great or we've all but abandoned them. However, now is not the time to lose hope. Now is the time to pick ourselves up, try to work our way out of whatever tomb we're in and start anew. The fact that God never gives up on us is central to the Paschal mystery of Lent and Easter. Yes, the last year of COVID has worn us down. February was a frigid nightmare. The uncivil war of wearing masks has returned. Nonetheless, we cannot forget our hunger for God that drives us onward. This takes us back to fasting. Fasting from food, TV, the internet, gossip, curse words, Facebook, Diet Coke, wine, or chocolate is meant to open up our awareness to our hunger for God. Sometimes our inability or unwillingness to fast affects only us, as in the case of my lovely coworker with a cupcake and out-of-control blood sugar. Sometimes it influences and hurts others, as when our inability to fast from angry words, loud arrogance, or hateful online comments spew out of our mouths or from our fingertips. And then there are times when an entire people is called to return to God with fasting and weeping and mourning. In the first reading for the third Friday of Lent, the prophet Hosea proclaims, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. You have collapsed through your guilt. Take with you words and return to the Lord." Many, many times this year, as we've debated masks, social distancing, opening schools, and 100 other COVID protocols, I've been reminded of the story about heaven, hell, and chopsticks. In hell, the people starve because they have 6-foot-long chopsticks and can't get the food to their mouths. In heaven, everyone is well fed because they use their 6-foot-long chopsticks to feed each other. After a full year, we are still called to fast from our self-righteous and indignant independence and stop saying, "Well, this infringes on my freedom." We need to recognize that sometimes my freedom ends up taking away the freedoms of those around me. God is always calling us to return as a people. In one of the Lenten Gospel readings from Matthew, one of the scribes comes to Jesus and asks him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself." All the fasting in the world will not make a difference if I cannot put aside my need to feed myself with my own giant chopsticks. Why is that? Because authentic hunger for God always, always, always demands of us transformation and the willingness to pour ourselves out for our neighbors. Those with chickens in their backyards, those with political signs contrary to our beliefs, those who never cut their grass, and those who are another color or nationality. I will confess here that I find it hardest right now to love my neighbors who are anti-maskers and refuse to follow COVID protocols because they feel it infringes on their rights. As authentic, deeply believing Christians, we miss the mark when we do that because we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus never exerted his rights, and if anyone could have done so, it would have been him. We are not Jesus, but we are called to become more and more like him in our self-emptying as we make room for God in us. Was it right for me to judge my coworker based on her cupcake? No. Was it right for me to try to teach someone about the spirituality of fasting? I don't know. Is it right for me to judge people who don't wear masks and put me and my family in danger? I wish, but no, it's not. As Americans, we believe strongly in our rights and our freedoms. But the irony is that the prophets and Jesus teach us that to be truly free, we have to be willing to completely give ourselves away. Our hunger for God can only be filled when we recognize and admit our hunger for the one who is greater than ourselves.